Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
Well, Darren, I said in our, I guess, production meeting, as brief as it is right before the show, I felt like this show was a chance to exhale a little bit after just a crazy couple of weeks. I thought it was a good episode of Raw, solid episode, some good performances, some forwarding of some storylines. I thought Cody was really good on the mic. Seth was good. But we have this intriguing thing going on with Sami Zayn that I'm actually kind of most interested to talk about at the top of the show, because I don't know if they're just trying to rev him up a little bit so he seems worthy of being Drew's opponent at WrestleMania or somewhere in the meantime, or if they want to make him more credible if he qualifies for the Elimination Chamber after all, as somebody who maybe can win and that's the only thing it's serving. But the interaction with Cody and Sami makes me wonder if Sami's going to be involved either in the finish of the Cody Reigns match at WrestleMania because of Sami's background at the Bloodline and jealousy over Cody or whatever comes up, or they're just kind of planting a seed for something even longer term for Sami to turn heel or have a face-to-face match with Cody sometime post-WrestleMania. A lot of things running through my mind. Maybe I'm missing something obvious. What do you think they're up to?
Well, first of all, I was encouraged that they had a focus on him starting a couple weeks ago with the interviews and the stands and everything. So I'm glad that he's not somebody that's just going to be lost in the crash, because he's very valuable. And especially last year, he certainly proved that. So I'm glad that they just didn't forget him with everything else that's going on first and foremost. But a lot of different ways that this could go. I thought they were planting these seeds for a heel turn, and it did pop in my head tonight that maybe he's going to have something to do with the Cody situation, and they kind of teased that. So maybe he's the guy that they wouldn't dare have Cody lose the title shot and not win again and not complete the dream again. But if they were leaning in that direction, there is a good person that could interfere and cause that, and that would be that no one would see coming, I suppose, would be Sami. So maybe they're planting the seed for that, or maybe just trying to be ambiguous that you think he might turn. So, but I think he's going to play a part in that, because they're going to need some more people. Cody's going to need more people to go up against the Bloodline besides Seth, which I'm sure we'll get to. And he would certainly fit in storyline wise, and he's a popular character. So yeah, I could see him joining the team at least, and then maybe tease him which direction he's going to fall.
What's the peak usage of Sami the rest of the year for you? Like, what isn't over pushing him or under pushing him specifically in terms of some of his big matches and the places he goes in whatever they're setting up?
Well, once this whole Rock thing settles down, they're going to need some challengers, and he certainly showed that he could main event last year. So I wouldn't mind seeing Sami return as a heel this time, returning to the main event scene, giving him another shot at it. So he's got a pretty high ceiling, I would say.
Yeah, I like Sami, and I like seeing him back in the mix. There was a time where he was just felt like he was going to be lost for a while, but he's just too talented, and I think he has too much of a bond with the fans, and he's just too effective, either as a face or a heel, at telling a story. And I love that they're in the sit-down interviews with Jackie Redmond in the empty arena, having him reflect on where he was a year ago, I think is a real poignant way to have people go, that's right, he was this like really big deal a year ago, with everything that's happened since with Cody, and everybody else, CM Punk arriving, LA Knight taking WWE by storm in the summer. There's this guy named Sami Zayn who we were wildly into a year ago, and they've made him a major, you know, a significant player again in this mix. Drew McIntyre is also fighting for relevance and attention, and he's doing so, you know, by mixing it up with Sami here in the short run, in the immediate. And I like what Drew is doing on the microphone and how they're booking him to place himself in the middle of the big decisions and big things that are happening regarding Roman and Seth and Cody in particular. I think Drew's character is being put in position to do a good job, to not look like he's being left out and forgotten about, but rather, even if he's not in the mix right now, he is someone you can absolutely place in the mix, including, of course, potentially facing Seth at WrestleMania. Talk about Drew a little bit, too.
Yeah, he's been on such a roll. He is helping to elevate the Seth's title that is taking a little bit of a hit recently with all the goings on, but he's making that title still seem important just by the fact that he's obsessed with it and making it still seem like a big centerpiece. So he's done a fantastic job of that, among other things. And I liked how he even kept the Punk feud alive tonight by very subtly mentioning him about the line about, "You want to stay out of my prayers," and something about Punk found out or something like that. But it was just very subtle, but he's managing to keep that alive as well. So, he's on a roll, just a very compelling character. Everything that's going on, he's still one of the just biggest attractions when I watch the WWE shows. He's one of the people I most look forward to seeing, even with all that's going on. And that's not easy to pull off.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like he's somebody they should be really valuing right now as someone who has redeemed himself through this. I mean, it takes, obviously it's a whole team. He's not going out there just winging it on the microphone, but the way he's delivering the lines and the way that he is built, the way that he's reframing his character, but building slowly to who he has become and doing so with, I think, compelling credibility has been really fun to watch. And I'm not saying he's reinvented himself, because this is the same Drew. He's just in a different place because of real things that happened to him that he keeps referring to in his response to real things that are happening to others. So it's been good. You know, we put up our flashbacks from 5 and 10 years ago, our Raw post shows and flagships and stuff. And it just, and then like we put up flashbacks to on pwtorch.com to Raws of the past, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And you look at some of these shows and you hear the commentary, you read what I'm writing about them in my reports or others, and it's like all these complaints about Raw and SmackDown and the authority dominating and bad booking and, you know, what are the top 5 most embarrassing, counterproductive things that they did on that episode. And I just want to take a moment to say WWE is like in a really good place right now, just in terms of looking forward to watching a 3-hour Raw. This has been better. I'm not saying everybody loves what they're doing more than ever or more than what AEW is doing or whatever, or that every segment is for everybody. But just overall, there is sort of, and this is a credit to Paul Levesque, but I think they were on a roll even with Vince around, but we can debate how much of that was him. There's like this absence of irritants. They've corrected course. There's fewer things you're rolling your eyes at or groaning over, other than Pat McAfee's commentary these days. And it's good. And Sammy and Drew and how they're portraying themselves or being portrayed in recent weeks are just two examples of it.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. And however, I'm the guy, I will throw a little bit of water on that. Yes, the shows are much more enjoyable to watch from suffering through like the last couple of years. But for me personally, it's a lot of their outside of the ring activities that just kind of put a damper when I watch, and I might be in the vast minority when saying that. It's just little things, big things, little things. Obviously the Vince McMahon stuff just puts a damper a little bit when I watch. And every time you start feeling, and again, this is to me personally, when I start watching, they always do something. A couple weeks ago, it was the Hulk Hogan thing that no one asked for, just shoehorning him in there. And there's one other thing that happened last week that no one's talking about, and they introduced it during the press conference, is that they had signed a deal for WWE Speed with X, whose owner spreads racism, anti-Semitism, and is anti-DEI with that kind of propaganda. And with all the money that they're making, they're like, well, here's a good idea. Let's get into business with this guy. And it just puts a damper on it for me. That's a deal you could easily skip or take somewhere else for a partnership. Yeah. And they're hand in hand with them. And it's that kind of stuff.
Good for you. I thought the same thing when they announced that. I was just like, why are we making new deals? I mean, Elon Musk just earlier today was like, stop funding Ukraine because it's sending Ukraine kids to battle against Russians and die in the field. And I'm like,
that's my point.
You're basically telling them to wave a white flag when their country's being invaded by an evil dictator. I mean, I thought to myself when I saw that, like, I don't even know if I can go onto X anymore when that guy is leading it. Basically, I'm largely staying off of X, Twitter X, in any way that where I used to be, you know, engage with people and retweet funny things. I will, you know, retweet political stuff on my personal feed. And you know, just promote, you know, basically free advertising for Torch articles. But I don't really want engagement, you know, and it's, yeah, I just was disgusted. I mean, actually more so than usual by him today with that comment about Ukraine. I mean, why is such a big part of our country suddenly oblivious to how evil and awful Russia is and what they did 2 years ago to invade a sovereign country? And I'm astounded. Not to turn this real political, we're trying to talk frame WWE optimistically, but you know what? That is part of the struggle with any sort of brand that you're for, entertainment that you're for. Even Pat McAfee with all the Aaron Rodgers stuff. Like I don't know if his commentary is just a lot worse now, or if I just find him an insufferable sycophant with no spine because of how he handled the whole Aaron Rodgers situation with that just nonsense conspiracy theories and macho idiocy that Aaron Rodgers has mastered. But it is part of not enjoying him. Now, also, I do not, and this is a topic I'm going to save for later, but I don't enjoy him talking about Bronson Reed's bathroom hygiene, or what was the other one that was just tawdry and gross today. Like, I don't find him entertaining.
Yeah, I did tune him out, so I can't help you there. It's like, you know, any charm that he had before, and I am in lockstep with you on McAfee, not one of my favorite people just for platforming Aaron Rodgers and laughing and giggling when, you know, that is potentially killing people with disinformation. Yeah. But his previous run, I guess, had some charm that people like, but to me, and I'm definitely biased about this, I think, like, the magic is gone. It reminds me of, in a way, like Ronda Rousey when she had her first run, and I thought that was really good. But when she came back that second time, it was just like, something's missing here. And that's kind of with McAfee as well.
Yeah. The other comment, by the way, is McAfee after, first of all, R-Truth did an athletic move, and then McAfee, I think for the first time in WWE television history, mentioned that R-Truth is 52 years old, which is not part of his character. Like, his age is just, it's not a thing they talk about. He just blurts it out. And I mean, I don't know if it's a big deal, but like, does he not watch TV? Does he not have good instincts to know? That's not what WWE does. They don't, R-Truth could be 37 for all people know. Like, I just, or, you know, like, why draw attention to that? It shows bad instinct. And then Michael Cole goes, well, I'm in my 50s and I wouldn't even think of doing that. And then McAfee goes, I pulled a muscle taking a dump the other day. And it's like, okay. That's just crude and tawdry. I just don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about Bronson Reed wiping his ass as McAfee decided to bring up. This isn't your podcast with, you know, a warning label. It's just like, let us enjoy the show without that kind of – and I'm not a prude in real life. It's just when I'm watching Raw, that just feels inappropriate for the tone of the show.
Sure.
It's not my – I mean, if I were in charge, I'd say don't say stuff like that. But it doesn't, like, offend me. I just think it's really bad judgment on his part. So you have – that aspect of things, but that's less important than the other stuff. I agree. I mean, corporations are going to have their affiliations, and it's hard to, you know, it's hard to find exactly the pure way to go about, you know, getting a prescription at a drugstore. And oh, Jesus, Walgreens or CVS less evil. It's like, you know, one doesn't sell cigarettes, the other still does, which is crazy. Then one of them is not following this policy that you would believe in, and the other one is like, it's a challenge to do it. And I think you just try to be diligent and do it. You know, do the best you can. But it would be nice if WWE seemed a little more cognizant of the bad timing of associating with Twitter. You know, I haven't plugged Twitter on the show for months and months and months for a reason. You know, I mean, I sell my account, but I don't know. Anyway, Yeah.
And these are such easy things that they could avoid. And it's not like they're going to go broke because they pass up a deal with Twitter, or you could plug any legend in for the Hulk Hogan thing at the beginning of their pay-per-view show. It's just easy stuff that you could build goodwill with just by not doing.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. All right. Well, a lot from this episode of Raw to get into, including just kind of the follow-up on last week's press conference and the 200 million plus social engagement breaking point that they had, and we'll evaluate how they followed up on that with Cody's address and Seth and all that as the show progresses here. But let's pause and introduce ourselves. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post show for Monday, February 12th. 2024. I'm Wade Keller, host of the show, the editor, publisher, and founder of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and the website pwtorch.com, and the host of the Wade Keller post shows and podcasts, and the host of a variety of other shows on the VIP side of things, Wade Keller Hotlines, post pay-per-view and PLE roundtables, host The Fix with Todd Martin, I host Everything with Rich Fan, and more. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. Part of our VIP podcast feed is our 18 years ago flashbacks. We've been doing podcasting for over two decades now. And on roughly the 18th anniversary date of shows, and we put up on average one show a day, I think, these days from 18 years ago, you can relive what was going on back in 2006. And that includes post pay-per-view roundtables, Wade Keller Hotlines with tons of insider information and analysis, post shows like this, but in the pre-live caller era of our podcasting run, early era Bruce Mitchell audio shows, Pat McNeil shows, real fun stuff. A lot of things I could list that come with VIP membership, because we do a ton of current stuff, of course. But those flashbacks are real fun, and it's just hard to find that elsewhere. So if you're interested in kind of the mid-2000s and how our brand of coverage was covering that era, when you're a VIP member, you can add that to your podcast listening schedule. All right. If you want to join us on today's show to talk Raw, the number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. When you call push 1 on your keypad, that will flag you on our switchboard so that we know you want to be on the show. You can also email us if that's easier, especially if you can't listen live. The email address is wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. And when you are watching Raw or SmackDown or Dynamite or Collision, just send in an email during the show, even if you can't join us, with your thoughts, a suggested topic, or a question. By the way, the other voice you hear on this show is my co-host tonight, Darren Lilly. He is a PWTorch.com contributor and PWTorch podcaster covering TNA, Impact Wrestling. Also, almost forgot to say TNA, the home of the former Dolph Ziggler. Darren, welcome back. Always great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Excellent. How are you liking the TNA era of TNA? I don't know how to say it.
Hey, I get it mixed up all the time as well. But, yeah, they're on a good roll with the rebranding. So far, so good. However, their president, Scott D'Amore, was let go last week. So it's going to be interesting to see if there are any noticeable changes on the on-air product going forward. They have a couple of episodes in the can already, so it won't be apparent for another week or so about the direction, but that's something to certainly keep an eye on. Interesting times, definitely.
How are they going to fill that 14 minutes of weekly airtime that Scott D'Amore got?
Well, yes, he was a very big fixture going into, I believe it was Bound for Glory. But, yeah, they have concluded the angle, thankfully, and it came to its conclusion. But, yes, he was getting quite a bit of airtime at different points. But, yeah, maybe they'll bring on some young talent, I suppose.
Or more Tommy Dreamer.
Well, he might step into those shoes, yes.
Maybe we can have Lance Storm. Some Lance Storm content is maybe a GM who introduces a show and talks for 8 minutes and then has some backstage segments like Adam Pearce. I don't know. Anyway. All right. Enough fun. Not fun. We're still going to have fun, but enough fun about TNA. let's pivot to the rest of the show here and talk to callers and other topics from the show. We're going to begin with air code 440 as our first caller today. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Good evening, gentlemen. This is Steve. I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hey, Steve. Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling. It's not often you're able to call, is it?
No, not really, but you know, I've been watching professional wrestling for 50 years, and this is the first time I've called in the show, but I listen to it on the regular. It's just it's always very informing, and I was getting newsletters at my office in 1997, so that shows you how far that goes back.
Wow. wow, that is great.
Every day they'd say at my office once a week, what is this wrestling thing that you're getting delivered here? So, but it was worth it.
yeah.
I have to make some comments about tonight's show and just in general, if I may. I love the fact that you guys mentioned Pat McAfee because I do have a very loaded question. It goes something like this. Who decided that he was something entertaining? And I'm just trying to figure out what he brings to the table that you're not getting better with Wade Barrett, Booker T, Wade Keller, or anybody else that they might put in that chair.
Well, I will take Pat McAfee over Booker T because as grating as McAfee is, I don't think he just undercuts and sabotages as much as Booker T does the NXT product and the past on the main roster. And sometimes McAfee just sort of blends in. I don't hear him saying as much. I don't know if he's just not as in on the product or he's not being produced as much or what. But yeah, this is not a good start for him. And I don't see the breathless stick of head WWE fan. Oh my God. I don't want to hear that anymore. The gimmick wore off. There was a novelty aspect to it. I'm over it. I'm over him. And again, I would need to go back and rewatch some of his early stuff, but I do think he was better then. I was a defender of him and when others weren't, I mean, I actually thought he was good. I don't think he's good right now. I think he's become kind of this caricature of his former self. And granted, he, you know, had his things he did, Nakamura and all that, but now it is just, this breathless, you know, fanboy, sycophant, bow to celebrity, bow to powerful people, love WWE in an over-the-top way. It feels, I don't know if it's sticky or kind of just comes across as kind of pathetically over-the-top. But, yeah, I'm not to bash him too much, but we already did, and I will again. I think he's showing bad judgment on tonight's show. Some of the kind of crude talkery stuff. The R-Truth H thing was dumb. I don't think he's adding to the show right now. I think Michael Cole likes him. Michael Cole calls him the GOAT, or he calls Michael Cole the GOAT. And Michael Cole really enjoyed working with him. He liked his energy. And, I mean, Cole has sway. Cole has pull. You know, I mean, he's not, like, running things. But if Cole likes working with McAfee, Cole's been around long enough. He's respected behind the scenes a lot. And that carries some weight. So, you know, I'm a fan of Michael Cole's work. I don't think McAfee's making Cole better right now. But, you know, not to throw Cole under the bus, but I think McAfee's there in great part because of Cole.
I just think he's fallen under the impression that what he has to say is either interesting, relevant, or insightful. And at this point, it's nothing. Like you said, it's just lazy. He could have said, I'm 37 years old, and I pulled a muscle taking out the garbage. And at least somebody would have maybe snickered at that versus rolling your eyes.
Yep. I know. I don't know if he's trying to be a shock jock, like trying to shock people, or that's my brand. I'm going to make, you know, I don't know what his rationale is or if it's just kind of his go-to thing, but yeah, there's just, you know, I don't know if you're at a business meeting and like everyone just has a certain tone and decorum and then someone just starts talking. I don't know. I don't want to like go down that road. Like it's just sometimes people are like, ooh, why'd you have to say that? You know, that's kind of how I feel about him. He just sort of breaks the tone. And again, I'm not like prudish in real life. I just think it's bad tone setting and out of step with what the tone of WWE's product is and what the audience looks for. If he had other positives right now, he could look past it, but he doesn't. So, yeah. Anyway,
I think unfortunately,
if I could jump in right quick. Yeah, go ahead, Darren. Let me have Darren respond to what I just said, what we've been saying here.
If I was Jey Uso, I would pay McAfee big money to never say yeet again because it came off so uncool when he was saying it. I was like, you're just killing the catchphrase right now.
Yeah,
I just thought it just killed it. Totally.
Yep.
Yes.
Good point. Go ahead, Steve.
I can't wait for the match. You know, you mentioned the Yeet. I'm just waiting for the match between Jey Uso and LA Knight where we can have the Yeet and Yeah chant off. That's coming, I think, before.
Yeah.
I will tell you this, guys. I am, oh my gosh, I am like the biggest Gunther Mark on the planet. I mean, this guy, you talk about a total package. Now, I've always think he's been a work in progress a little bit on the mic, okay? But that promo that he cut last week, and at the end when he went, oos, I almost fell off my chair. That was brilliant. This guy, at some point you're going to have to turn this guy, because I've been saying for a year and a half, this is the dude that should be taking the belt off of Roman. Do I think it's going to happen? No. But you got to admit, if you had a scenario, and I hate to play the if game, but if you had a scenario where somebody was getting their asses kicked and Gunther came out to make the save and Roman was putting the beat down on somebody, the roof would blow off the place. And I don't know if you guys agree with me or not.
Darren, talk about – I mean, I'm all aboard the Gunther bandwagon here. He's just great. I mean, I can't even think of something to critique about his character right now.
Yeah.
My critique at one point might have been, well, as a heel, he's too dominant. And I mean, the way that he, when Jay tagged in, he's like, oh, I'm brave, I'm going to take you on. Nope, I'm not. He finds it's you know, it's been done a lot. It's been done for as long as I've watched wrestling, the tough guy, badass heel who jumps out of the ring, but it works. But he doesn't do it to the point that he becomes a joke or loses his credibility, because he is so badass and tough and credible in so many other ways. I really like the choices he's making, the way that he isn't so dominant that he's getting cheers. He knows his job is to get booed. Not every heel over the decades gets that your job is to get booed. So you've got to, as the term is, show some ass. You've got to, talk a big show, but not always back it up. And the fact that he's so good means that you're entertained by his matches, but character-wise, you do want to see him, his ego get chopped down. Darren, talk about
it. Yeah, I'm just so impressed with how much he's improved over the last couple of years. And I will say, I think the more they give him to work with, just based on what we've seen, even like the last few months, I think he's only going to get better. The more he moves up and interacts with bigger stars, I think he's just going to keep improving. I hadn't even thought about him turning face, but if they were to do that at some point, I think that would be really effective. That's actually a really good idea.
I can see that someday, and I think against the right heel, I think it's a ways down the road. I mean, he's not as
definitely.
It's a ways down the road. Let's have him as a heel. I mean, Gunther and Cody can headline any pay-per-view if you tell that story well. Steve, back to you.
Speaking of pay-per-view headliners, you know, I'm shifting gears here, and again, I appreciate you guys hanging with me here. You bought a Jade Cargo, and you have thrown management has thrown the fans so few crumbs. I mean, for God's sakes, get it moving along already. I mean, you had that moment during the Rumble where Jade had, I'm trying to think who had Becky up in the air, I think it was, and the other one had Liv up in the air, and they stared each other, Jade and Bianca, and they stared each other, and the place popped like mad, and yet, what are they waiting for? Till a week before WrestleMania, before they decide, and then she loses her credibility because she's done nothing up until then?
Darren, what do you think of the starts and stops of Jade?
I think they're being really patient with her because they have some big stuff in store, and I guess they want to make sure that she's ready as well. She, I mean, really hasn't had all that many matches in the grand scheme of things. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if you were to see her in that second chance battle royal next week and look dominant. That's something where she doesn't have to have a full match, and then you can put her in the elimination chamber, and again, well, she'll have some help. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went that direction.
Yeah, I'm trying. I mean, I don't blame you, Steve, but I'm trying not to. I shouldn't say overthink. I'm trying to be patient and understand that they probably have something very deliberate in mind in terms of why they're featuring her the way that they are. And until she's ready to do something big, I just don't think they want her like just being present. I think they want her appearances to have big impact. So we'll see. I'd say let's revisit this in mid-April. And evaluate it, because I think they have something in mind, and we should give it a chance to play out and be a little patient, especially with somebody just so new but also so green, and I think who they want every appearance to seem really special. Steve, go ahead.
And last thing, and I know you guys have other callers, is I just love the fact that I remember a couple years back watching Rhea Ripley walk onto the stage of NXT as the NXT European champion, and within 5 seconds I said, this girl, not a girl, is going to be a superstar. And she got a title and then backed off a minute, and now if you went down the list of who's the biggest names in the whole company, she's easily in the top five, if not in the top three right now. I mean, it's awesome. Now, sure, I would love to see her and Raquel maybe team up against Bianca and Jade someday. That wouldn't be a bad tag match. But it's just the girl's a superstar, and it's just awesome to watch.
She is good, and fans like her. I we haven't talked about Becky yet. Darren, what do you think of Becky's segment tonight and how she talked about Rhea Ripley and this three-way setup that they have where it's sort of a, you know, everyone's cheering Becky, everyone's booing Nia, and then there's Rhea, who even Becky is acknowledging, you know, has her fans.
Yeah, I thought it was one of Becky's better appearances on the mic. I thought she had some good material to work with, but as far as the angle, it's pretty standard just to get them to fill a little time for the Elimination Chamber. But Rhea continues to get good reactions, and yeah, she certainly established herself as one of the big time players, especially in the women's division. I noticed that they've kept her separate from Judgment Day recently, and I think that's only helped. Because they're kind of in a little comedy phase a bit with the R-Truth thing. So I think it helps that they're creating some separation for right now.
And when she does appear, she is the alpha. She is the adult in the room. She is the person who is putting J.D. McDonough in his place or leading these alpha males. And she is just, you know, Steve, when you talk about her being a top five, top three star, part of that is they know that, and they are making sure that she comes across as the alpha of that otherwise group of men.
Well, do you think that Nia was almost getting – maybe it was piped in. Who knows these days, right? But was Nia almost getting Dominic-like heat in that segment?
I don't know if it was piped in or not. There was a This Is Awesome chant in the LA Knight Ivar match that I was a little suspicious of because no one was visibly chanting anything, and then they faded it out really quick. But maybe there was just an upper deck group who were really easy fans who are easily impressed. Not that the match was bad. It just, come on, let's save This Is Awesome if we're going to do it at all for truly awesome moments, not a match that you're pleasantly surprised by at the 4-minute mark. If she's getting real heel heat, she's earned it at the Rumble. She got real heel heat. Todd Martin was there. He talked about that on a recent episode of The Fix. What she's doing has heat with a lot of the WWE fans. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was authentic. Darren, what do you think of Nia Jax?
Yeah, begrudgingly, I've stated before, I'm not her biggest fan, but she's doing really well at this and being the dominant heel and everything. I think that I don't know what's going to happen to her after the next couple of months after she loses to Rhea, and I think Becky will get her victory back, and then it'll be interesting to see what happens from there. But they've given her a lot to work with, and she's come through, so I give her credit for that.
Yeah, I mentioned Raquel.
Yes,
what happened to Raquel? Has she been injured? Wade?
Yes. Darren, do you remember the injury that she had? She posted about it.
The first thing that popped in my mind was like it was a shoulder injury, and I could be very wrong about that, but yeah, she's on the sidelines definitely.
No, she has mast cell activation syndrome.
Oh.
I don't know a lot about it, but yeah, it sounded like she was really bummed out and not sure what she was about to go through, but it affects her skin and she's been posting images of it. So yeah, it's not, I don't think it's a physical injury as something going on with her skin that makes obviously her unable to wrestle. Her skin's very red and lots going on there. So, I mean, you can Google it and find out more because there have been stories written about her social media posts about it.
Well, guys, I appreciate you taking a minute or so with me. And just remember this, the next time somebody says to you, hey, you know, wrestling is fake. All you have to do is reply this, and I've been saying this for decades. And, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger is not really a robot either. So we'll just leave you with that.
Thanks, Steve. You know, I was thinking wrestling fans have, I think, a better ability to discern reality from fiction because they see pro wrestling, they get so invested in it, but they also know better. You know, like you watch these live crowds get super into Cody and his journey, and it's like they know, you know, everything's predetermined. They know it's being scripted. They know that it's a show, but they get to get in immerse themselves in this alternate reality. And I think that actually makes them more able to, like, look through the BS of politics and the BS of, you know, whatever is going on out there, businesses trying to spin things when they see a slick Super Bowl ad or, you know, whatever, any kind of ad on TV. And you're like, yeah, the ad agency did a good job, but the corporate leaders are still scumbags, or the people who run that company polluting the environment they're not fooling me. Like, I actually think pro wrestling fans are probably more savvy because they live this alternate world and they understand how you can get pulled into it if a story is well told. With pro wrestling, you know, there's ostensibly no harm. It's entertainment. There doesn't have to be harm to buying into the story. With other things, you know, there definitely is. Let's go next to Joe in New York, and you can join us on the show. 347-215-8558 if you call. Push 1 if you want to be on the show. Joe, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Good evening, guys. Tonight's Raw was good, you know, but that show, there's something about that show that when you try to watch it, and I don't watch it every week anymore. I'm only watching it because it's WrestleMania season, but the show just reeks of filler. Even the stuff that feels important, sometimes it just comes across as filler. It just feels like it's a long show with a lot of filler. And the one thing I'll say about Pat McAfee, I mean, he gives that show one thing that I think it needs more than anything. It needed it for about 15 years is energy. Energy. He gives it energy. Now, sometimes he goes over the top, but before I get all over him, I want to give him a full month to get himself back in the product. I mean, the guy was away. He was doing his college football thing. He's not watching the show. Give him a month to get his feet back so he knows all the storylines, and then let's judge him then.
I think that's fair, Joe, to say he might get better over the next month and he might know the storylines. I would counter by saying if you're going to be on national TV for 3 hours, have in your free time, get caught up on the product. You know, I feel like too many people made excuses for Kevin Kelly. They made excuses for Jimmy Smith. Like, if you're going to be on a national TV show talking to wrestling fans who are immersed in the product and watching it every week, year after year after year, if you're going to be on TV, spend a couple weeks binging on WWE content and get caught up. Like, so Pat should honor the fans having to listen to him by being more caught up on the product. Now, that said, you could be caught up and still not have great instincts and have your feet under you, and that's fine. But I am not going to reserve my criticism in the meantime. But that said, I am absolutely open to him getting better, Joe. You know, I mean, I really am, even if I think he should be caught up and should be making better decisions already. You're right. He might end up – maybe some of what he's doing now is just trying to – like, it's out of insecurity to try to seem like, well, I have nothing to add to the characters in the storylines because I'm not familiar with them and I'm rusty, so I'll just be crude and try to be the shock jock thing, things no one can believe is being said on a WWE show. But I would say that's a bad decision that I'm going to be critical of in the meantime. But yeah, he brings energy. So does Booker T. But Booker T brings energy that completely undercuts everything that NXT is trying to do. And so, you know, energy can be good. It can be just superfluous if everything else they're doing is counterproductive.
But I do want to go back a step and just talk about that press conference for a minute. I mean, that was interesting. That was interesting because let me just say it showed you one very important thing. Right now, WWE does not have a leader. They don't have a boss. Say what you want about Vince McMahon. I mean, when it came to being the boss, he was the boss. He was the director. The company had a general idea where they were going. They had no idea where they were going on Thursday. They were making it up as it was happening live. And that, I mean, it showed. And Solo Sikoa, watch that segment. Because the way Roman Reigns was in that segment, that's how you be the right-hand man. because he was the right-hand man in that whole segment. The Rock took it over. The Rock showed he was the head of the table without even having to wrestle. He led that segment. I mean, he was the guy in control. He was the boss. And, I mean, it was an awesome segment.
Let me jump in because I agree that there are things when Vince McMahon is around for all, you know, it's 40 years, there was more leadership and a commitment to direction, and that has been lost. Now, on the positive side, and I think it overrides the negatives that you're bringing up, Joe, but those negatives are there. They are making it up. They're calling audibles that it doesn't seem like everyone's on the same page and things aren't making sense. And Cody says, I'm going to face you. Roman just not at WrestleMania. And they sort of pretend he didn't say that all of a sudden. And the story completely changes. And that's weird. But I want to give them credit too for pivoting when the fans didn't like what they were doing. That's something Vince McMahon, I think he'd like to brag about, you know, our fans are our focus group, their largest focus group any company could have, and they're the best. But when he was committed to something, he didn't change. And, you know, Paul Levesque and everybody, even The Rock had to, you know, pretty much green light this change. I mean, I don't know, maybe Ari Emanuel said, Rock, I was all for you until I heard the crowd, and now I'm not, and Rock threw a fit. I mean, I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but ultimately, Rock has to be okay with this, and he seems like he's enjoying the heel aspect of it. So, Joe, I mean, on the bright side, and it's not to discount the fact that it could be negative. It could be a negative at times, but they did scramble to try to fix something that a bad decision that was made to put Rock against Reigns instead of Cody against Reigns, and they had to scramble, and it was messy. But if you give them 2 weeks to get through it, at least they weren't stubborn and put fans through 2 months of pretending Rock's a babyface and having fans rebel against it and trying to find something else for Cody to do and spending 2 months trying to convince fans that that should be acceptable. That's what Vince typically would have done in a situation like this. Joe, what say you? And then I'll get Darren's thoughts too.
No, I wasn't knocking that they pivoted. I was just saying that they didn't know what they were. They were making it up. If the fans had chanted for The Rock there, I think they would have went with The Rock. That's how much I think they were making it up as they going. I don't think anybody. That's why the announcement was messed up.
Well, Joe, sorry for stepping. Sorry for interrupting. I know that's. But don't you think leadership can also be defined as not staying the course, but adjusting, even if it looks a little messy? I guess that's what I'm trying to get from you. It's like you say if they had real leadership, they wouldn't have pivoted. They wouldn't have listened to the fans. I think they should be great, even if it's messy.
I think they should be, but I think I'm very curious who is the leader, because I'll tell you right now, it's not Triple H. He is not a leader. He is, at best, his title, which is a fancy title, Chief Officer Creative Content, that's middle management at best. He's not an owner. He's not a CEO. He's middle management, because just look, and you could see, ever since he came back from his health issues, there's something there with him. He's not happy. He's not depressed, but he's definitely not happy. You could see, he looks like he's got the world on his shoulders. And I've just seen it since he's come back. He does not look like a happy dude. And, I mean, if I were him, first thing I'd do is get rid of the beard and the goatee, because I don't think that goes good with him. But he just doesn't look very happy. He looks like a guy who knows that the walls are coming in on him, because I see a lot of, you know, like he's into it, but he seems like, you know, hesitant. And like I said, I don't know. My question is not so much that they pivot. I'm happy that they pivoted. That's fine. You can't do Rock Roman right now. That story is dead, at least for now. You can't do that. They blew that. That's done. But my point is, who's calling the shots? Is it Ari Emanuel? Is it The Rock? It's not Triple H. He can be overridden. He can call it, but there's somebody above him is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah. So I'll answer that. One, I think Paul Levesque has more influence over the day-to-day operations and creative product than anybody, by far. But can he be overruled when somebody like Rock shows up? Absolutely. But I also think that the team at Endeavor trust him, especially after they get done with whatever's going on with The Rock. I think The Rock is the disruptor to Levesque seeming like he's in control. Now that Vince McMahon is gone, we barely had a chance to breathe before The Rock showed up. Like, days. So Vince is gone. Rock will be pretty much gone, not around as much as he's going to be the next 2 months. When that happens, I think Levesque will have the weight of the weight on his shoulders relieved a bit, and he'll go back to just kind of getting to do things without feeling like someone's going to come in and enforce their change. Ultimately, Ari Emanuel is going to be able to make any decision he wants to influence the product. He is going to be the ultimate person, but he's going to keep out of it almost all the time, except when something like Rock happens. So again, I think with Jade Cargill, like give it a couple months and then let's exhale after the Vince stuff, after the Rock stuff. And they've got Cody, who's just mega over. Levesque has managed him brilliantly. Seth is in a good spot. The Bloodline with Roman Reigns has limited dates. They've made the best of that. The women's division is coming on strong. I just the Nia Jax thing, I think, has worked out. He was criticized for bringing her in. The goal was bring her in with a very specific purpose, build her up so that she can help elevate one or two or three others. And we've begun to see that. I think Levesque's going to build goodwill, not only with fans and the wrestlers he manages, but also upper management once the drama dissipates a bit. Darren, your thoughts on this conversation?
Speaking specifically to the press conference, which I did watch, I give them all the credit for hopping right on and course correcting, because in years past, they would fight the tide of what the fans wanted, and it was just very counterproductive and frustrating to watch. But here they hopped right on it, and so I give them credit for that. With that said, from my observation of just looking at the press conference, I just thought everybody looked bad. The Rock, his lines weren't – I don't think they were getting the reaction that they wanted, and he just looked totally just out of place to me. Seth, it was the wrong time to have the silly outfits. I mean, he just looked like a fool, just like the fourth wheel, which, as someone pointed out, is not a bad thing, but
that was hilarious.
Yes. Cody, by omitting the just not at WrestleMania line, now he looks like he went back on what he just said. It doesn't make any sense for him to be mad that somebody else is taking the title opportunity. You just said you didn't want it, and they still haven't addressed that. And then Roman just looked like a little brother, like a background guy. It was. I thought everyone came off really bad.
All right, Joe. Anything else you want to bring up?
Just final point. With Cody's promo tonight, I still feel at some point, whether it's in April or SummerSlam, it sounds like we're going to get a Cody Rock either match or Cody Rock tag team with Roman and Rock versus Cody and Rollins, because they still seem like they're going down that road, because both guys have a problem with the Rock. So at some point, I think we're going to get some kind of match.
Yeah.
What did you think of that? Did you get that impression? Because I sure did.
Yeah, I talked for like 40 minutes on the Wade Keller Hotlines last night for VIP members in response to some really creative and thorough emails on the topic of different things that they might be setting up and what the timetable for them and the storyline. And I reacted to different scenarios, and people have been, understandably so, since Thursday, talking about that tag match as a possibility. Darren, I haven't asked you this yet. You watched the press conference. You've watched SmackDown and Raw since then, read up on things, had a chance to listen to podcasts talking about them, all of that. What do you think WrestleMania is going to look like when it comes to The Rock's role, and do they do a tag match at some point, night one of WrestleMania, before then, afterwards? What, when, what do you think?
I think that it's going to be, we're going to get that tag team match on night one of WrestleMania. And one of the giveaways to me tonight was that they had a very well-produced promo video that showed them facing off together. So it's like, you're pretty much telling us this is going to happen at WrestleMania. I don't even think it's like a secret anymore, just on the way they produced the video. They just didn't put a graphic up for it, because they can't in storyline yet. But, yeah, I think that's where we're headed for night one. Then night two we get the Roman against Cody.
Yeah, and if you want to – but you also get Seth – and then on night two you also have Seth wrestling twice over the weekend?
That's what I hadn't figured out yet. And I wonder if the knee can take it. But
yeah,
I guess I don't know what happens to the Elimination Chamber winner. I guess he could face for the Intercontinental title or something like that. But I think that's kind of pushing things to have Seth wrestling twice, but it sure looks like we're headed that way. And another thing is that that creates less spots for everyone else that's trying to, you know, that you want to have a quality match with, because that's taking up two big spots for each night. And so that's a little bit of a problem.
And you know, if you have Roman and Cody wrestling on night one, what if one of them gets hurt?
Sure.
I mean, look, I mean, on the Super Bowl last night, somebody just, one of the players was running onto the field and tore his Achilles. I mean, how you've got Seth with a bad knee, you've got Cody Roman needing to stay safe, and you've got Rock in his 50s having his first match in X knows how long with how much extra muscle mass added that just feels like it's ready to just snap because he's just so muscle bound. I'm worried for them if they have the tag match that everybody survives into night two. I mean, there's no time to rest, and how bad is the match if everyone is being careful?
Yeah, there's a lot of risk there. And then Roman, he's not used to wrestling back-to-back nights in long matches, although, I mean, I imagine he will take it easy. But still, I mean, you've got to put in some kind of effort, so that's a risk as well.
Yes, I agree. All right.
Have a good night,
guys. Anything else you want to conclude with? All right, cool, great. Yeah, good topic. All right, let's go to George in Chicago, and then we got AJ in Virginia on deck. George, go ahead. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, wait, Darren. Raw was good tonight, I thought. I thought that there was a, you know, I've always been, and I'll say from jump, I've been the Rock versus Roman guy in the main event. But there was two things about the pivot that I liked, and this kind of it goes back to the previous caller too. The face version of the Rock is was getting kind of old. It was getting antiquated. So what made me more receptive to the pivot was, yeah, we get to see heel Rock. We get to see the Rock that cut the promo in Canada and called people mother Canuckers and stuff like that. I thought that was hilarious. I can still watch that promo over and over. But the other thing that was really good was that it was listening to what, even if it wasn't what I wanted, it was what the majority of the fans wanted. And, you know, and this is going back to the whole Vince McMahon thing. If Vince McMahon had listened to the fans back in the day, years and years ago, Roman would have been a heel a long time ago. There possibly would have been a turn for John Cena, too. And if you had done that, then you wouldn't have gotten certain talents undercut by John Cena as being a face. And even if you wanted to stay there and push that, it's been obvious for years that Roman should have been a heel. So there is flowers to be given to say, okay, yeah, we're listening to what you're saying. And, you know, in giving those flowers, I thought the press conference was awesome. I thought the press conference was chaotic. It was crazy. It was anything could happen. And the chaos almost can be justified. It's like, I'm like, okay, we switched everything like you guys wanted. So you guys got to give us kind of a mulligan to kind of straighten up everything and get everything on track, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think this is them sort of going, hey, everyone, can you give us a mulligan? We're kind of doing a good thing here, but it's going to be kind of messy getting it perfect. So just please embrace that we are adjusting to exactly what you want. Celebrate. Don't be nitpicky. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've tried to come up with a better way for them to explain why Cody said just not at WrestleMania. And now it is than they've done. But in a way you end up drawing more attention to something that I just don't think ultimately can make sense storyline wise. Darren, have you thought about that? Do you think there's something better? They could have done.
I couldn't think of anything better, but it's just kind of lame, just skipping right over it. I mean, it's a big, and I'm sure people have thought about that, but I guess they're just going to be forgiving, and then we're never going to get an answer about that, which I guess is the best we can hope for. I did want to point out that George made some excellent points about they should have turned Roman years ago, and about he referenced the Rock promo, which brings up something that I thought of while I was watching the show. When Rock and Roman get rolling here in a couple weeks, they're going to be like the ultimate cool heels. I don't necessarily know if they even care, but they're going to get a great amount of cheers when they start doing the material and cracking on Cody. I just wonder if that's going to diminish Cody when they start cracking on him and bringing up the neck tattoo and stuff like that. I wonder if that's going to undercut him just a bit. So they're going to have to be really careful.
There was some talk about, you know, Cody's going to make a great heel if the fans ever turn on him. And, I mean, maybe that day comes, but, man, he's just a super over babyface right now. And he's so, you know, curated in terms of what he says and how he says and compared to AEW. And he needed an editor. He has one. And he's just become a better promo. And he is, you know, the right person for this era right now. And it's working. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, George. Back to you.
I got to agree with what Darren was saying about The Rock, and because it was like, okay, you guys are booing The Rock because you guys don't remember why you cheered The Rock. Like, the whole point of turning Roman heel was so you could turn him back face after you gave him kind of a word that you use all the time, Wade, is agency. I'm like, The Rock was not a good guy. The Rock's character was never a good guy. The Rock got over because he's The Rock, and that's bravado, and that's everything that made him him. So turning him, people are going to be like, oh, yeah, that's how I like, that's why I like this guy. The not necessarily the catchphrases, all that stuff, and then they're going to be like, no, I think we want him back as a face now because we like him again. Like, that's very dangerous, especially the way And if you're talking about Rock and Roman together, the way Roman went out there and just kind of cooked Seth like 2 weeks ago, like that was just him by himself. You add Rock, Roman, and Paul Heyman to that, I think that could be dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things they can do with Roman. I've talked about with Cody. Early in the show, I talked about Sammy. We like Drew. But, yeah, everything you just said is waiting to be explored. Darren.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about. And Seth is already on the borderline, but there's just so much material that they could say about him to make him look uncool. And we have not gone into the territory of Cody. I mean, he gives the tremendous reactions. You can't take that away from him. But there are some flaws in the character, which is kind of corny. You know, the persona that he has is a little bit corny. And when you start picking away at that kind of stuff, I wonder if once Rock leaves, if the fans will be like, yeah, remember, you know, Rock did point out made some good points there. So that it's a tricky situation they're heading into.
Yeah. George, anything else you want to bring up?
The only thing is I'll piggyback on the Pat McAfee was, That's interesting because as I was watching the show tonight, I was like, I really started to think, like, who can we get to replace him? And it was just grating, but it was like, who could do it? Because I'll watch NXT and Booker, like, I got love for any brother or anybody doing anything, but I will listen to Booker, and I'm just like, Booker, please, for the love of everything great, please just shut up so I can – watch this show. It's just like, you know, the shucky ducky crack quack, all that stuff. Like, dude, are you trying to accentuate yourself, or are you trying to put the talent over? Because you can't do both at the same time. So I definitely feel what you guys are saying when it came to that. And that's all I got. As usual, everybody go VIP. Great Wade Keller Hotline. One last thing was I really like the idea. It would be hard to get to this, but I kind of really like the idea of Roman and Seth on one night for both titles and Rock and Cody on another night. And I know that's not going to happen, but I like the way that that email set that up.
Darren, now I think you're back. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Were you able to hear George conclude the scenario he liked? Because that's, I think, where my internet shorted out a little bit.
Yeah, I did hear that. Yeah.
George, for my sake, I'm sorry, Darren. George, for my sake, say what you liked, what scenario you liked, because I just lost like 10 seconds of audio there.
There was a on the Wade Keller hotline, somebody emailed in and was like, well, why don't they just do Seth and Roman on one night and Rock and Cody on another one? And I was thinking about that before everything happened last Monday, and now that everything happens, it's like there's no way to get to that, but it kind of makes sense a little bit because Seth and Roman have been doing this dance forever. And, you know, it's there's a lot of things that it's contingent on. Like, what's the plan for the future? Are they going to combine the belts? Are we going to have one show, et cetera, et cetera? But the biggest thing for me is, like, Cody's pretty much your number – Cody is your number one face right now. And the way you're setting it up, Rock's the number one heel. So why not?
Yeah, I explored it. I talked about it. Obviously, there's some pros and cons, and maybe it's just a little too late. I was watching Raw tonight, just being like, okay, it doesn't seem like we're going to be on some adventure that's going to steer us into doubting whether Cody and Roman is taking place. You cannot take that away from fans at this point. And I don't think you can have both all four wrestle two singles matches.
No, I think that would be difficult. I think when it, like you said, when it comes to two part-time guys and one injured guy.
Exactly. Yeah. And then Cody, you know, who has been hurt and missed a lot of time. I mean, even if you're the youngest and healthiest in a bunch, you can still get hurt. And you don't want to screw up night two of WrestleMania as a way to try to placate Rock needing to be in a big match that's different than what he originally envisioned.
I completely agree.
All right, cool.
George,
appreciate the call very much. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Have a good evening, gentlemen.
Yep, you too. All right. So now let's go to AJ in Virginia, then Valentino Miami is up next. AJ, thanks for calling. What's in your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, Wade, how are you?
Good, good. Yeah, what's in your mind about Raw?
All right, so I really like what they did today in the Cody-Seth segment to pivot and move the story in the right direction. Seth's promo was very good. Everything from what can I say except you're welcome, you know, from Moana, and referencing how he can be a shield for Cody. I thought that was just really, really good stuff. And I think he redeemed himself a bit through this promo from the last few weeks of hits he's been taking. So I really like and trust these two guys to put the story back in the right direction. So I thought that entire promo was really good and made you forget some of the nonsense from previous weeks. Now, I'm going to go back in time and discuss a what-if scenario, all right? So if you recall, the original person that everyone was rooting for in the Bloodline story to take down Roman was Jey Uso, right? And it was a very compelling story that he would be the one. Now, then it was Sami Zayn because of how he elevated the Bloodline story with his sincere performance, and then everyone got behind Sami, and they really wanted him to be the one. And in that moment, everyone forgot about Jey because of how Sami was carrying himself week over week. And then when Cody inserted himself, initially there was pushback, and I was one of those folks who was calling Cody corny and saying he's taking it away from Sami. It should be Sami or it should be Jey. But to Cody's credit, he masterfully made us believe in his story to finish his story, and then it was that story that made the fans get behind him. So my point in all of this is it's the most compelling story that drives who gets a shot at Roman, nothing else. Because if you think of Cody's finish the story, why should he be the one to take down Roman? He wasn't inserted, you know, 3 years ago when this whole Bloodline saga started. He sort of came in the middle and overshadowed both Sami and Jey. And I was quietly hoping, Wade, that The Rock's story and perspective would be even more compelling than Cody's finish the story, and I was hoping that's the direction they take, where after The Rock was forcefully inserted, right, into potentially facing Roman at WrestleMania, I was hoping the next time he shows up, he talks about how Roman has been disrespecting the family, what he did to Jay, how he's being perceived, and how I'm going to check Roman and I'm going to put the respect back in him. You know, and I think that's a story people really could have gotten behind. And I'm just really disappointed that, you know, call it The Rock's ego, his laziness, his status, not watching the product, probably, right? It's just so much easier to go heel, but it's also lazy. And I really feel, had he given an opportunity at a story sort of rooted in family and respect, I do think Cody would have then been overshadowed by The Rock, because The Rock certainly has that presence and his ability to tell a story and have the fans go on a journey with him that just never happened. So I'm just disappointed at the potential of what The Rock versus Roman angle could have given us. And look, the whole assumed build with The Rock, and sorry, I'm going on for a bit, but the assumption behind The Rock being the head of the table was that he's not happy with how Roman is treating family, particularly Jay. And, you know, for them to just ignore everything and have The Rock sort of back up Roman because of a slight that Cody never even made on either of their fathers was just a very odd and a big missed opportunity. So I'll take a quick pause and kind of get your take and reaction to that.
Yeah, I think when we kind of get, again, I feel like this was a good show for us because there weren't major developments. There were follow-up on what happened last Thursday and Friday and really over the last couple of weeks. And it gives us like now until Friday to process a lot of what's going, what has happened. And it sounds like that's what you've been doing, AJ, and is processing things and then looking at what could have been. And even what, not just what could have been had they taken a different approach with The Rock and Cody. And was there a way to make that work? I'm in my mind, I'm like, you, early on in your call, you said, you know, that, you know, Cody took the spot from Sammy, and then you had the people were excited about Jay at one point. And,
yep,
you know, why can't Rock come in and take Cody's spot? If the story is told well, I think that was
right.
Kind of the belief from Rock, you know, that's the case Rock would make to the Endeavor people and to Levesque. Hey, you know, I'm a bigger star than Cody in terms of elevating WrestleMania beyond the very satisfied core fan base right now who bought tickets on the first day. I'm going to bring a new level of awareness and make WrestleMania 40 huge. But you know, how that story was told did feel like The Rock showed up and wasn't ready. Well, here's this is my pause, and I'll throw it to Darren, AJ, first and get his thoughts on this too before we throw back to
sure.
you for some follow up. But the crowd rejected The Rock the second he showed up. So I think if you were to go back in time and say, what would we have done differently, you'd want to have Rock say some of the things that you're saying before it, if it's at all possible, before fans had a chance to go, oh no, you're not taking
yep.
this moment from Cody. You've been waiting a year for this. And I don't know how you pull that off. So maybe it was unfixable, but I mean, The Rock comes out and it's supposed to be this big pop. Oh my God, Rock is here. And that was hubris on his, you know, he's like, oh, people are going to be thrilled to see me amp things up. I'm a bigger star than Cody. And you know, I said that in my commentary at the time. I think Rock is not fully grasping because of the la la land that he lives in and the stratosphere of celebrityhood that he has and being wrestling royalty and moving on to all these great big things. I think he really did underestimate how fans felt about Cody. And in the WWE fandom, which is not as big as Rock's fandom, those fans want to see Cody, you know, by a sizable majority. And he paid the price for it. But I don't know how you I don't know how you get Rock's story told in a way where fans warm up to the notion of him instead of Cody before fans reject Rock so strongly that you don't have even a chance to catch your breath and tell that story. Maybe that's the story they wanted to tell. It probably was, but things just got out of hand too quickly. So, AJ, yep, I know you probably want to say something, but I want to get Darren's thoughts quickly before I throw it back to you on it.
I can identify with AJ's frustration. There was a lot there between the Rock and Roman story, and we're not necessarily going to get that, but there was a lot of material there. To go to Wade's point, the only way that they could have gotten out of this was to do a preemptive strike and have Rock start laying the foundation of the story between them and try to flush that out. But they would have had to have someone just totally dastardly attack Cody and to make him so infuriated that he wanted to get revenge and say, with the story can wait, I have to get revenge. And it had to have been so compelling that the fans would have been on board, and that would have been the only way out of this. But do that, so now we're in the situation that we have, and there's a lot of holes in that story because they're trying to go back and course correct, including the Rock overreacting to the line that wasn't even that big of a deal. So they need to address that. I don't know that they necessarily will, kind of like the Cody not at WrestleMania line. But, yeah, there's some holes that need to be addressed if they want to tighten the story up, and maybe we'll get that Friday.
All right, AJ, back to you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I agree with everything you both said. I had the seeds started to have been planted before, you know, Cody said, hey, Rock's going to do it before me. I think then there may have been an opportunity, right? And Darren, just like you said, so much material was already there where it just feels, it's going to feel odd now if there is a Rock versus Roman thing down the road, because clearly whatever's Roman done up until this point, the Rock doesn't care about, right? Right now he's just about, you know, like, respect my father's, but whatever he's done to Jay, whatever he's done to Jimmy, clearly doesn't faze the Rock at all. So I think it's going to be hard for them to tell that story in the future because it doesn't bother him enough right now. But I agree with you guys. I think there was an opportunity had they started planting the seed early on, but that also does require the Rock to be present on a week-to-week basis to get the fans behind him, behind his story, and given everything he's doing, right, it's probably not realistic either. But I appreciate you guys' feedback, and that's all I had.
Well,
thanks for taking my call, guys.
AJ, you have a second. Do you think had Rock shown up last June or July, and they had built SummerSlam around the Bloodline at that point before we went into everything from SummerSlam until the Rumble, where it felt like, you know, the Bloodline could do no wrong for a while, and then eventually it seemed like, wait, this is wearing out its welcome, the tread is thinning, it's they're stretching things out, they're filling time, you'd be taking away Jay's story, but if Rock had shown up then, or maybe Rock shows up afterwards and he just doesn't get to be on a marquee WrestleMania SummerSlam level event, but maybe he shows up at SummerSlam and then does something with Rock after with Reigns afterwards. Like, when would have been the time to tell the story? Because I think it's real poignant that you say, by Rock siding with Roman now, it really is impossible for him to now take advantage of everything that was built up for years, building to the Rock showing up. And because he obviously is looking past that. So what was there a time that would have been perfect to strike with this?
Yeah, no, great question, Wade. So I think had The Rock been present, not on a weekly basis, maybe once every 2 months or so, and all it requires is a segment with him and Jey Uso just sitting and talking, right? And it doesn't even need to be sort of recorded, like what the conversation is, but you know, just picture those two guys in a room where Jay is leaning on the Rock. Anyone can assume he's clearly opening up to the Rock about everything Roman's put him through. You know, a month later, you can have Jimmy conveying some of those feelings. Then you can have Sammy perhaps with The Rock. I mean, it's pretty easy to do because there's so much material and everything is rooted in the bloodline, if you think about it, right? So everyone's trusting The Rock, bringing their issues to him, telling him, here's what Roman has done. He's out of control, you know? He's lost it. I think subconsciously, if you do that, now the fans have an understanding of why The Rock wants to be head of the table. Because the approach that they just took makes no sense why The Rock wanted to be head of the table, because all of a sudden, like, he wants the title. He wants to go one-on-one versus Roman. But what's the premise? For the fans who are watching, we're just assuming it's because of the disrespect that Roman is giving to the family. But all of that goes out the window when The Rock has Roman's back and slaps Cody. I mean, it just boggles your mind. But I think had they done some of those smaller segments over this past year, you know, just once every 2 months with The Rock, I think now you're building a long arc story that the fans can get behind. You know, the fans are at a point where any entertainment industry, whatever you look at, if people don't put in the work, you're not going to get the respect. And I think that's the thing with The Rock. He did not put in the work the last 2 years, and he expects to be headlining WrestleMania. Fans are going to reject anyone who they don't see putting in the effort and the work in terms of the storyline.
Yeah. Darren, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, those are some excellent points, and I think that's kind of why Cody got the reaction that he did, because he's been there, you know, month after month, putting in, telling this why his story is so important, and then The Rock came right in. So, yeah, some excellent points there.
Setting the table for fans to embrace The Rock by having Seth Rollins talk about Roman Reigns never defending his title and being a part-time guy to get people excited to see an even more part-time guy show up might have been a bit of a miscalculation along the way, too, that maybe they didn't fully think through as they were trying to get people excited about Cody Seth. They built the case for why fans should reject Rock against Roman, Rock as the challenger for Roman instead of Cody. Cool. AJ, any closing words, or are you good?
No, you guys are awesome. Thanks for taking my call. Everyone go VIP. You won't regret it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, AJ. Appreciate the kind words. Good call. pwtorch.com/govip. You can be VIP in like 2 minutes to get an email and click a link and have the VIP feed synced up with your Apple native podcast app, or you can sign up through Patreon and listen to our VIP shows through Spotify. You can stream them from our website. You can use Android apps like I do on my Galaxy. We are very, very compatible and have a slick system set up for you to customize your feed with different shows and different groups of shows. So, and you get access to our library that goes back 35 years, newsletters, hundreds of retro radio shows. Great stuff. You can just lose yourself on a rainy day or a long plane ride or during your lunch hour in our archives and read our newsletters of your favorite era of watching wrestling, whether it's now or 22 years ago or 18 years ago or 14 years ago. Oh, I won't keep going. All right, let's go to Valentino from Miami. Valentino, thanks for calling. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, Wade. Hey, Darren. Thanks for taking my call. I have so much on my mind. Raw, I did feel like Raw was a little bit of a filler episode, but they're still finding creative ways to kind of keep us you know involved and looped in. But it seems like they're positioning SmackDown to kind of be like the must watch show over the past few weeks, which I think is interesting, just considering this is the last year that they're going to be on SmackDown. And I'm like, well, I'm not sure what the play is there, but I think that SmackDown's been like a B show in my opinion, just with the exception of Roman, you know, being kind of like the biggest draw of the company. But other than that, I just think they've done such a really, really good job this WrestleMania season, and even leading up to the Royal Rumble, like keeping us on our toes. It's been super hard to predict, you know, even, you know, leading up to even in the Royal Rumble, just between Cody and Punk, it was really hard to just, I was in attendance and it was just pretty split crowd. I know. I've heard a lot, even on the show, that you know it was a heavy Cody support group. But there was a lot of Punk fans too, me included. My heart sank when Punk didn't win. I totally understood it. I totally got it. Like I think it was wise of them to not have put all their eggs in his basket, in the Punk basket, just, you know, based upon, you know, his injury, you know, obviously because he got injured shortly thereafter, but, you know, his history with getting injured and also his history with being a disgruntled employee. I think they made the right decision by giving it to Cody, but then the whole curveball of, you know, it's the whole, that's just that one sentence, just, but not at WrestleMania or whatever he said, just... Anyways, long story short, they've done a really good job of just keeping us on our toes and just not knowing what to expect. I don't even know what to expect from the Seth Rollins alliance with Cody. From what I gathered from today's episode, I thought that, like, Rollins was just going to be in Cody's corner, but it sounds like I must have just misinterpreted that. But they left that ambiguous. What are your thoughts?
I don't think you should say you misinterpreted it. I think it's open for interpretation at this point. And I mean, I think they've got everything figured out. And so I think it's worth reading into clues or Easter eggs or indications, but I don't think they want us to know yet. But I mean, I like Seth talking about being the architect, and 12 years ago, we came down the steps and in our gear. And then I taught Roman everything I knew. It kind of made him feel like, yes, the senior member of that group, certainly above Roman at that stage. And now I'm going to be here for you, Cody, kind of, you know, Frankenstein and Frankenstein's monster. Like, I created this monster. Now I need to be there to help you, Cody, who won the Rumble, and you've chosen to face Roman, and I respect that. Now, even if I made my pitch a couple weeks back for something different, I need to be there to stop this monster that I created from a tipping point that we might never be able to come back from. Darren, you'll like, in my Raw report on PW Torch, I said it reminds me of the U.S. presidential election and the stakes here. There's a tipping point we may never be able to come back from, depending on how things go. And I'm very serious about that, and I feel very fearful of what comes. And I think that's what Seth's trying to – I mean, I'm not saying he's thinking that, politics, but I think that's what he's tapping into, is the sense of something that has been – bad could get irreversibly worse with a tipping point, with the power Roman would gain if he is to win. No pressure or anything, Cody, but WWE may never be the same, and we may never have another presidential election. I mean WrestleMania, if not for you stopping Roman. So I think he's tapping into some stuff there, and I thought it was, like, really good. So as we kind of critique what they should be saying and where they're going, we've got nearly 2 months to go. There's a lot of story left to tell. Sort of like with Jade Cargo, but in a much, you know, much broader sense, just like enjoy the ride. There was some messiness they had to get through. I think this again was step back, deep breath. Let's create a sense of stability, add some intrigue, not give everything away, and just stabilize things and give some people some things to talk about. But it make it look like we know what we're doing now, and you just don't know entirely what we're doing yet. And that's good. If you're watching a TV series, you don't want to get halfway through the season and not have the feeling, these two feelings in concert. I don't know what's happening, but I have a sense that the show creators do. So you want to have those. You don't want to know where it's going. That takes some of the fun away. You certainly don't want to think the show creators don't know what they're doing. Like I abandoned Lost at one point because I'm like, they're just filling time. And I don't have the energy to make sense of this. And Walking Dead felt like, okay, this is just AMC's just buying more seasons for a show that ran out of seasons. So shows that I abandon, it's because I just think they don't know what they're doing anymore, and I don't care enough to stick with it, or I'm just too busy. I don't have that feeling right now, but I kind of did last week, but I figured, you know, they still have time to fix it. Valentino, do you want to jump back in with any?
Sure. Actually, wow, you put that so well. And actually, I guess I feel closer to how you felt last week. This week and after the press conference, I'm not certain they know exactly what the end game is. And I think it's kind of fluid at the moment. And in fact, I actually feel a little bit robbed of whatever the original story was with Roman versus Rock originally. I just feel like, I don't know what that was, but I know Rock said that, like, if he came back, it would have to be for something super special. And despite, regardless of that quote that he made, like, still, like, it's just the swerve of him aligning himself with Roman. I think that swerve was undersold at the I don't know if you call it press conference or whatever it is, but I just think wow, I feel like it might have come premature, because all of us for years have been fantasy booking Roman versus Rock because it made sense, and I can't think of anything else that's made so much more sense. So you know what comes to mind, as a matter of fact, what comes to mind is I guess Austin versus Rock at 17, if it was, if I'm not mistaken, when Austin just aligned himself with Mr. McMahon, and it was so random and arbitrary, but like it was unpredictable. So those are my thoughts. Those are my thoughts on that. They're doing a good job of making me feel real passionate about it and just all over the place with my emotions.
Yeah, no, I think, I'm not saying there's buyer's regret from fans who were so vociferously for Cody getting the shot, but I do think there's a little sense of what could have been or what will we never know. And, you know, I think AJ touched on it. Like, can they ever, Rock showing up to take on Roman and call him out for how he treated the family and all that he's done is gone. Like, it could be rebuilt in some alternate version, but it'll never be what we anticipated for years it would be, which is Rock's going to show up and go, oh, you're head of the table, raise the eyebrow. How do you feel about that, Jay? Jay doesn't like that. Solo, you seem to have at times a look on your face that says maybe you're not buying into Roman's leadership. Jimmy, you're all over the place. Paul Heyman, what up? You know, like, you wanted just Rock to show up and, like, basically look like he had a complete grasp on everything that's going on. He's been paying attention and just undress everybody. And have fans delight in it and want to see Rock then take Roman down and have Roman sell it and then try to you know, regain his strength and go, oh, my God, now I'm facing a force that might take me down. And I'm sure that's why Rock was excited to just insert himself in and derail Cody and made the case, and people bought it. Not everybody happily. That Cody story will survive not happening at this WrestleMania, but the Rock bloodline story cannot exist as envisioned unless we do it now. And that got completely thrown away last Thursday. And I understand angst, and there might even be some regret or just, kind of mourning the idea that there was a story that they can't tell because Cody, in his story, the fans were so invested in, they had to react to it. And, again, maybe this week, maybe in 2 weeks, people will look back and go, what have we done? Or what have the fans done? Or shame on you, Cody, for being so good in your role. It's a good problem to have. But you know, it's like go to the casino and you win $80,000, and it's like, oh, I want to buy either this luxury SUV or this great EV pickup truck. I don't know which one I want. You buy one, and you're like, oh, maybe I should have gotten the other one. It's like, you're still happy. You're in a good spot. You got a great vehicle. So they're in a good spot with Cody Roman. But, yeah, I mean, Darren, are you having any pangs of angst or what could have been?
Yeah, definitely, because I was kind of wanting to see how they would set up the Rock-Roman whole storyline and match, and we can never recapture that or whatever they had planned. We will never get that now. So yeah, I have a little bit of regret. Going back to Valentino's point at the press conference, a flaw with the very paper thin storyline was that Rock and Reigns were just toe to toe, and you know, the disrespect or whatever, the tension between them, and then over nothing, next thing you know, they're rolling their bags out of the building together. It's like, what happened there? They've got to address that Friday. I'd say they got to, because they probably
it could be huge. It is a huge moment for them, and they have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon to add to and refine everything that they've thought up until this point since they came up with what they were going to do Thursday. And this should be a time of real, like, do not homework, not due diligence. Like, just be thorough and understand the importance of Friday. The follow-up to last Thursday is huge. And, you know, and I'm not – and again, Rock is – it's hard to have Rock drop into this universe and expect him to be immersed with everything he has going on. But you hope – that he brings some pliability and humility to others who are much more invested in this than him, and is willing to listen more than talk, and accept more than dictate those who are very invested in this and want to do right by this augmented audible, this, you know, augmentation of the storyline, this audible they called. And if Rock just shows up and goes, all right, I got 45 minutes. Tell me what, you know, I've got my thoughts. You tell me yours. And then I'm going to tell you why I want to do it my way. That's going to suck. And it's going to show up on Friday. So, and I don't know. I don't know the dynamic enough to comment on it.
Yeah. It's going to be a must-see show.
Yes. Valentino, anything else you want to bring up?
I think that wraps it up. They're definitely doing a great job keeping us on our toes and in anticipation. So I'm here for the ride. I think you'll probably get another phone call or two from me this WrestleMania season. And
I hope so. Yeah, keep us up to date on your thoughts. I look forward to it.
Much appreciated. Thanks to both of you.
You bet. Thank you. All right, so let's shift to a few other topics, and thankfully we have an email from JB who can help us cover a few things with his six-part email. JB from Detroit says, Sammy's facial reactions were comically bad in his interview segment that was interrupted by Shinsuke Nakamura, which is surprising based on what we know him to be capable of. I thought the segment came across as cartoonish rather than intense, which they were presumably going for. On a positive note, I like the fact that they referenced Sammy and Shinsuke's intense NXT rivalry as it made more sense as to the immediate animosity. Darren, did Sammy's facial expressions jump out as cartoonish to you?
I didn't recall that, but what I did not like for that segment was the camera cuts and the different camera angles where you could tell that there was some shenanigans going on, and that kind of took me out of the segment, where if they had just shot it straight, that would have been much more effective. So they took it down a notch just by doing the cuts and stuff. That was because that kind of thing.
There's a lot of WWE's doing that I like. I've been an advocate for showing the exterior of the arena, the postcard shots of the city, celebrating the city you're in, and they're doing a good job with that lately at a higher level. It was interesting. I hadn't seen the camera angle before. Maybe they've done it where the camera gets like in world class championship wrestling gets on the ring apron and overlooks. Mm-hmm. Jay's shoulder as he was reaching for a hot tag. You got a little glimpse that they're new at this because Jay, I don't know if he was irritated or just flustered, and he ended up shifting sides from the right side of the ring post to the left, so the camera didn't get in its way, but it could still shoot the hot tag. And we got a cool angle, which that was neat. I mean, they got to evaluate whether it seems too fakey. There's also a spot in the timekeeper's area where a camera was waiting for the spot. I can't remember what match it was in right now, but I feel like it was something with Gunther, but I could be wrong. But there was, crashing, and the camera just happened to be there waiting to shoot it from a great angle. So I would say right now, the post-Kevin Dunn era and them trying new things, I'm for that, but put a premium on having it feel like cameras happen to be there to film something that's happening when they don't know what's going to happen next. It's, one of my top, groan moments watching wrestling is when there's a camera in the crowd waiting for the wrestlers to brawl past it, when that camera is never there otherwise. The other big groan moment is when the fans are already pulled aside in the concourse, when wrestlers happen to brawl up the bleachers and up the steps and into the concourse. It breaks the immersive experience for me. And yes, the multiple camera angles, whether it's a pretty deadly skit on Friday or with Sammy tonight or what NXT does way too much of, it's people getting too cute. They think they're filming a sitcom, and they're not. They're documenting the presupposition of wrestling, the narrative structure, however you want to talk about it, is we don't know what's happening until it happens, and we're just there to try to capture it. And when you have invisible cameras shoot multiple angles, I mean, it's one thing for it to be pretty deadly where you're like, well, okay, I can imagine them, working with someone to create scenery and doing, reenacting stuff for the sake of a new angle because they're hamming it up for the camera. Maybe there's enough slack there, but yeah, the Sammy stuff they shouldn't be doing. And, but I didn't notice the facial expressions, but, I was also, just trying to keep up on, the TV report. So I might've missed a facial reaction here or there that JB is referencing.
Right. And as far as the production, I'm not a big fan of them bringing the elements of the NXT skits to the main roster shows, like the Pretty Deadly segment. And a couple weeks ago, they had Chelsea Green and Piper show up at a club or something with the tag team champs. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of incorporating that kind of stuff in. Sure, it's fun, but it just kind of takes you out of it because it's so overwhelmingly phony. But, yeah, I hope they start phasing those back out or just leave them in NXT.
All right, number two, are we getting a Cody and Seth versus Roman and Rock tag match night one of Mania and then Cody versus Roman on night two? And is it possible we also get both Rock versus Cody and Rock versus Roman at some point down the line? It's tough to get to – you can't do Rock-Roman now at WrestleMania night one unless they tell a story arc for 2 months that leads to Rock going, you know, I valued family and Roman, you know, I was blind or not paying enough attention to your past and how you treated family. I mean, maybe they do a breakup angle and Roman Rock's night one and Roman Cody's night two. I mean, we have 54 days, so I'm not ruling that out. But otherwise, I do think – Rock Roman should be on the table for at some point after WrestleMania. I mean, I don't think they should never have that match. And I hope they do have that match at some point. I don't know how it works with Rock's schedule and Roman's schedule and the story arc of everything and how it was going to be completely different. If Cody beats Roman, then it's no longer for a title and Rock aligning with Roman erases all the backstory that they could have used. Darren, what do you think the timetable and likelihood of that is?
I think you'd have to give it like another year. I don't think you could do it at this WrestleMania because you'd have to rush through another storyline and still have at least a month to properly promote it for a match of that magnitude. You'd want to do that. You don't want to do that on a 1 week build, but the storyline. So I think you got to get through this and then maybe reset it maybe next year because you want to have it at a feature event like WrestleMania. So I'd give it at least a year.
Number three, I'm kind of surprised that Bronson Reed lost his chamber qualifying match. Being an Australian native, do you think he wins some sort of second chance qualifying match, or will he be involved in the PLE in some other way? I can't imagine that they'll leave him off the card entirely. He could get back in with the last chance. He, you know, put up a good fight. I'm not surprised he lost. Darren, what do you think?
I would not be surprised to see him in some capacity, but not necessarily the Elimination Chamber because they do have a storyline to tend to, and he just doesn't fit into that. And he would have to lose at some point in that. So you might see him elsewhere. They also brought up Indy Hartwell for the Second Chance Battle Royal, which made me think, you know, if they don't go the Jade route, which is what I was kind of predicting, you could have Indy Hartwell in there just to make an appearance, just to have a hometown person there. But I don't think she's going to make it either into the chamber. So they always usually, like the Puerto Rico show, they will tie in the people from there in the show somehow. And I think they'll find a way, but I don't think it will necessarily be the chamber matches.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards what you're saying, too. I don't think having him just be a bit player in the chamber and losing is the best way to use him anyway. Mm-hmm. So if you give him some separate match to have, that might be more satisfying for the locals. They also might, with everything going on, might not be prioritizing him.
That's a possibility as well.
Exactly. I mean, I don't mean to be, the hometown thing should count for something, but at the same time, I think they're much more concerned about Rhea Ripley and everything going on in the lead-up to WrestleMania. All right, number four, based on what we know to be the card to this point, do you think that WWE has done enough to make a significant show for the big international stadium PLE in Australia? I'd personally be a bit disappointed if I bought tickets early without knowing what the lineup was going to be. I think that they're relying a bit too much on the chamber matches themselves, where the stakes don't feel nearly as big this year. Darren, you first.
I think they've done enough. I would somewhat agree about the chamber matches, but they usually do come through in their big spec, and they usually deliver, so I think they'll be fine. But the big thing they have this year also, no title matches, but you have no men's title matches, I should clarify.
Yeah.
But you have the Rhea match, and that's going to be feud. I wouldn't be surprised if they say that for the main event slot. I think that's going to be enough to make up for anything else that they were lacking. They really built up well that she's coming back for revenge and in her hometown, so I think that'll be sufficient.
Yeah, I think so too. You want to protect these big stadium, international stadium shows by making sure it doesn't seem like you're taking the market for granted, mm-hmm. or you can just feed them a PLE and they're going to be like, oh, thank you so much. We'll take anything. Two chamber matches, tag title match. I mean, sorry, but Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate against Judgment Finn and Damian is not a top four match on a major PLE most of the time. And Rhea Ripley, Nia Jax is big, and they've, you know, built up Nia Jax, but it's not the same as, you know, Rhea Becky for WrestleMania. So it'd be, yes, and Stephanie injury and Punk's injury don't help. You know, maybe Drew Sammy. It sounds like Gunther won't be there. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how much more to expect, but I can understand JB thinking it's on the lower end of his hopes.
I would agree with. Now, is Cody doing anything on that show? I feel like I'm blatantly forgetting something, because I'm sure they'll put him on there. And I think that'll help appease the fans, just having him on there doing something.
So who could Cody team with? Oh, Cody and Sammy against Drew.
No, Drew's in the chamber.
Yeah. No, that's why I paused. I jumped right
in.
Maybe I'm missing something obvious too. But yeah, you want to get Cody on that show. Does
Cody
Sammy turn on Cody?
Oh,
does Sammy
quickly?
Turn on Cody next week? Do they have? I mean, I don't know. Munson maybe I don't know. Yeah, that's. I have to put more thought into that.
If Sammy turns this week, that would certainly heat things up.
Yeah, but boy, that'd be fast.
Yes.
I mean, that'd be real fast storyline. But I mean, they laid all the groundwork for it. I mean, it's pro wrestling. When people are coming to each other's aid and talking about the importance of having each other's back, it's like, well, you know, it's just a countdown clock till they wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number five. Will WWE run into a problem with Becky and Rhea at Mania? It is clear that the fans want to cheer Rhea, but also really like Becky. I could see a pretty split reaction with crowd at Mania. Is there any chance that they make the match triple threat with Nia so there is a clear heel to boo? I'm not saying I'm in favor of that move, but I could see the idea being pitched. Yeah, I mean, that's been the issue all along with Rhea's gaining popularity unintendedly to this intensity and degree. It's a match you want to have. Darren, talk about Becky's promo tonight, and then is it a dilemma or is it no big deal? You can have fans just picking them, and Becky can handle it if the crowd, you know, is 60-40 for Rhea at WrestleMania. She can just smile and go, hey, WWE's in good hands. I think people like Rhea and want her to succeed, and Becky can turn around and get cheered against the next heel afterwards. Anyway, your thoughts.
Right. I don't think that's going to be a major concern, because Rhea is well on her way to being a face anyway, and they're not going to turn against Becky. She's pretty popular, especially with the crowd that'll be there for WrestleMania. I don't think it's of a major concern. Even if she does get booed, she'd probably just play into it anyway. I don't see a problem, but I do expect it to be pretty. I would guess it would be about 50-50. By the time it rolls around, I think Rhea will probably win and Becky raises her hand at the end of it or whatever. So I don't know. Or maybe they're planning on Becky having another title ring. So it's one where we don't know who's going to win. So that's always a good thing. But as far as Becky tonight, as I had said, I thought it was one of her better deliveries. She gave a good mission statement, got in that good line about whatever The Rock's character is, why is Seth challenging the character from the movie, I forgot. And I thought that was really funny. So we can hit a good line like that. I always appreciate it. But, yeah, sometimes on her recent promo, she's kind of derailed. I remember a caller mentioning how she always refers to herself in third person, and that kind of takes you out of it, but I think she's getting a little bit better. Maybe she heard the call and she's kind of correcting course as well. So, but yeah, I like that. It was an effective promo tonight.
What was I going to say about this? Oh, if Seth and Cody take on Rock and Roman on night one of WrestleMania, that is a way to protect Seth's knee, because then Cody can do, you know, more of the heavy lifting, so to speak. And then if that's the case, then that means Drew, the Elimination Chamber winner, doesn't face Seth at WrestleMania after all. So they need to come up with an explanation for that. But it also would free up Drew and Sammy to wrestle. And that's question six from JB here. If Sammy and Drew is indeed the direction for Mania, as I suspect, will that match be big enough to keep Drew happy, as his contract situation seems to be up in the air? I think it'll be a great match, and I have no doubt that both guys can make the match and storyline work, but I still don't really see it being in the top three matches on either night of Mania. Yeah, I don't think Sammy Drew's a top three, and that is unfortunate for Drew. If Drew wins the Chamber, you know, how do they not give Drew a title match? Whoever wins the Chamber, how do they not give them a title match? Darren, what do you think?
That would be a tough one to get out of. As far as the marquee value of that match, I think that it has potential to be a good, memorable match, and they can take some comfort in that. And the fact that they're in a featured spot on the show, I think that goes a long way as well. They're two guys who work well together and they can trust each other. So I think they, considering the options, and this is going to be a pretty loaded show, I don't think that's such a bad spot, honestly.
Yeah.
But even though it's not a top three for probably either night, I still think it's a good spot. I don't think they'd be disappointed wrestling each other in a singles match.
Where does Bobby Lashley fit in all of this?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess they're going to finally complete the feud with what's his name? Scarlet team.
Oh, Karrion Kross? Yeah.
Yes, Karrion Kross. I couldn't even remember his name. Yeah, I guess they're going to finally have that match where they've been putting off for weeks. I don't think they've actually wrestled. They had like a little confrontation or whatnot. So, yes, maybe they'll drag that out to Mania. I don't see anything else for Lashley, though. That's kind of sad.
And I'm thinking, like, is there something – can he be – are we missing him as a factor that we should be talking more about, even if the clues aren't there, because they're reshuffling so much? Is there a chance he gets involved with Sammy or Drew or Seth or something? He is, you know, qualified for the Chamber. My thinking is no, he'll be involved with something, you know, like you said, with the Street Profits and Karrion and AOP, but I'm just throwing it out there as just a big name who is on the show tonight that we haven't brought up, who is available either as a, you know, kind of utility guy to fill in an empty spot, as a, I guess, babyface.
Right, and that hasn't even been clearly defined. I would say he's just kind of on standby. If somebody gets hurt or some situation happens, he's somebody that can fill in very credibly at any part on the card. So maybe that's somebody that's good to have in your back pocket.
Or the post shows, wait. @gmail.com. Darren, are you back with me?
Yes.
Were you able to hear me while I was signing off? Because I felt like I lost my connection to you.
I did not hear it, no.
Okay, well, that's fine. Well, I did a sign off, but then all of a sudden I saw that I was reconnected to you. So any closing words from you? We've gone long here and I'm fine signing off, but is there anything in your notes that we didn't cover that you want to bring up?
No, I think we hit everything. If anyone wants to find me, you can find me on Instagram or Threads at DKLSTL.
If you had said on Twitter X, I'd been like, you hypocrite.
Right.
After the opening of the show.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, you did well there. You did well there. As Pat McAfee said, you didn't step in it, or he'd have been even more crazy. Thanks, Darren. Check out Darren's coverage of Impact on Thursday, TNA Impact on Thursday nights at pwtorch.com, and his TNA podcast with John Laszlo on the VIP podcast feed. Darren, we will talk to you soon. Have a great week.
You too. Thank you.